we will not be an unjust steward. Why do you suppose Jesus would speak on something of that nature concerning being an unjust steward or servant? A steward that we're talking about here in Luke chapter 16 is someone who manages another's estate. Or you manage someone's business. How many know that we are all managing the Father's business? Amen? Amen. We're all stewards of what God is doing on the face of the earth. And that we have a responsibility as stewards. And that you can either come under the category of being a faithful and a just steward or being an unjust steward. It's pretty simple. One or the other. Either you're going to, when the time of, in here, I'm studying, I haven't read this yet, but the steward had to give an account of himself. There's coming a day when all of us are going to give an account of what we did with our stewardship. And that is a time that we need to have the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," rather than being rebuked, chastened for being an unjust steward. Again, this morning, I want to remind you that we are not talking about the issue of salvation. We're talking about our kingdom inheritance. We're talking about how we grow and prosper as Christians. This is not an issue of heaven or hell. It's just simply an issue of your growth and your maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's read this morning Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. And he said to his disciples, this is Jesus speaking here, "There was a certain rich man who had a steward. And an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods." The word was getting out. You have an unjust steward. You have somebody who's taking care of your affairs and they're not doing a good job. They're wasting your money. They're wasting your time. They're wasting the abilities that you have given. And so the master called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship." How many in their hearts right now could look forward to that time? You know, we understand that there's going to be a judgment day for the unsaved, don't we? But you know, there's a judgment day for you as Christians as well, where you're going to give an account of what you did with your Christianity, what you did with your servanthood, what you did with your stewardship. How many can look forward to that day and in anticipation, you're anticipating that day of judgment? I wonder how many of us are really anticipating that day. I'll tell you what, we should be anticipating that day. You know what anticipation does for you? How many of have really planned something out? Something that you've got your heart set on and you're going to enjoy that to the utmost. You plan for it. You get yourself ready for it. Amen? You prepare for it. And see, this is what we need to understand. We as Christians need to be planning and preparing for this day that we're going to be given account of our stewardship. We need to plan for it. We cannot just go through life haphazardly and just hope that, you know, somehow everything seems to just work out. So too many of us are just kind of like shooting in the dark and hoping everything will just somehow work out. I believe we need to plan our lives. We need to plan how we are going to serve God. We need to plan how we are going to be good servants in the kingdom of God. And we need to look forward to this great day of judgment where we give an account of our stewardship. And so as a result of his master hearing what was going on and finding out the truth of the matter, he says, "For you can no longer be steward. You have disqualified yourself." Then the steward said within himself, "What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." And so he begins to get his devious mind working. How can I, you know, set myself up so that even though I'm losing my stewardship here, I'm still going to, you know, have a place where I'm not going to be down and out. And so he resolved what to do. He says in verse 5, "So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. And so he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'How much do you owe?' And so he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. And so the master commended the unjust steward because he dealt shrewdly. He's not happy with what he's doing. He just says, "This guy's a shrewd guy. He knew how to make a fast buck." And he goes on to say here, "For the sons of the world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light." I believe what God is really talking about here is that, and we'll get into this a little bit more, is that the sons of the world are very shrewd when it comes to getting ahead. And that we, as servants in the kingdom of God, need to be shrewd also in the sense of getting ahead in the kingdom of God, prospering the kingdom of God, using the abilities, the talents, the finances, and everything that God has given to us to promote the kingdom of God and be a little bit more shrewd in how we do that. The Bible says to be harmless as doves, but yet to be cunning, amen? Let's go on to read. I'm trying to find my place here. And he says here in verse 9, "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much." That's a very, very important principle. "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's..." Now, think about this. Why is Jesus telling us about all of this? Is this just a natural story, or does it have some correlation to what's going on in the kingdom of God? Does it relate to our position and standing in the kingdom of God? Oftentimes the parables are called kingdom parables because they represent the way the kingdom of God operates. And so he says here, "And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And so in this parable this morning, what we find is an illustration of the concept of how we are to handle that which really does not belong to us. We have a concept of how we are to handle the kingdom of God. Jesus says it's the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. He has given to us the kingdom of God. It's a responsibility that we have to be good stewards of that which Jesus Christ has given to us. And I believe if we want to see the kingdom of God prosper in the earth and go forward in the earth that God has ordained for it, then we as His people, as His stewards, as His managers of that kingdom need to be wise stewards. Amen? We need to be just stewards. And so in this story, the steward was the manager of his master's goods. He managed all of his master's household. He was the manager of the household. The man was a very rich man. And all of these riches were delegated unto this steward. How many know that our Father in heaven is a very rich man? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The whole world belongs to him. It's all his. It's all his. But he's given it to us to manage. But the problem that this steward had, and he has the same problem many of us has, is that we take what belongs to someone else and we misappropriate it. We appropriate it for our own purpose, our own benefit, rather than the benefit to whom it really belongs to. And that's what he was doing here. He was being an unjust steward. He was misappropriating the money and all the different things that are involved here. He was using it towards his own gain and towards his own purpose rather than the master's purpose. How many today can recognize that everything you have belongs to the Lord? Amen. Everything you have belongs to the Lord. And so as we look at this, let's remember that these parables represent Jesus' teaching and his instruction on the kingdom of God. He is teaching us kingdom concepts and principles through these parables. This story here relates to us, speaks to us how our stewardship in the kingdom of God really works. It's one parable that relates to us how our stewardship, and there's other parables that relate to our stewardship as well. The parable of the talents, for instance, of increasing that which God has given to us. You know, God wants you to increase. He wants to increase you, and I believe he even wants to increase you financially. He doesn't want us rich. I believe there's some people that God would really desire to be rich, that they can understand and handle that money in the kingdom of God and be stewards and use that to really advance the kingdom of God. But God understands also that one of the basic things about mankind is that there is a susceptibility to falling into the snares that riches bring with it. And most of us cannot handle being real rich because the temptation is too strong to destroy ourselves and to misappropriate those funds. Because we haven't even learned how to handle the little things he's given to us, have we? In many cases. We take what belongs to God and we spend it on ourselves. I believe if we would develop an attitude and a mentality that everything we have belongs to the Lord and we use it to further his kingdom, and we're not concerned about the clothes we wear, we're not concerned about the house we live in, we're not concerned about the food we eat, but yet we're more concerned about expansion in his kingdom of God, expanding the kingdom of God, moving the kingdom of God forward. See, we're more concerned about seeking first the kingdom of God rather than seeking first the kingdom of self. And that's what this parable is all about. The unjust steward was a man who was more concerned about the kingdom of self, doing what would benefit him. And Jesus says, this guy's a shrewd character. And so, if we have a right biblical perspective of who really owns our possessions and life, I believe we will not fall into the category of being an unjust steward like the person in this parable. If you have a right perspective of who owns you, who owns your possessions? Ezekiel 18 and verse 4 says, "Behold, all souls are mine." This is the prophet speaking by the Spirit of the Lord, speaking for the Father. He says, "Behold, all souls are mine, the soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son is mine." He says, all souls belong to him. You belong to the Lord today. You are his slave. You are his servant. Amen? You are his steward. You do not belong to yourself.
I was thinking about this earlier today. I don't think we really comprehend the depth of that statement. Because if we did, our lives would be geared to what we really believe. If we really understood the depth of what it really means to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not saying here that none of you belong to God, okay? You all do, okay? You belong to God. We belong to God. But do we really live like we belong to God? Or do we live like we belong to ourselves, like I'm in charge of my life? The finances I have are mine. The goods that I have are mine. The home that I have is mine. Or do we look at it like everything that I have, even the clothes I wear today, are His? The home I have is His. The talents, the gifts, the ministries that I possess are His. They're not mine. They're not to be used for my own gain. They're to be used for His purpose, for His destiny. And I believe that we have a responsibility to grow and mature in that area. And I believe that as we do, we will see a further growth of the kingdom of God in our midst. It came out this morning in the time of reflection about water that runs off because it has no depth to run into. I believe in order to have that depth in our lives, it requires total submission on our parts unto the Father of spirits. Amen. Unto Him. That we understand that He has total freedom in our lives to do whatever He wants to do with our lives, to use our income for whatever purpose that He has in mind, to use our homes for whatever purpose He has in mind, to use our lives for whatever it is that He has in mind. Oh, if we really understood that, we would be dynamos for God, wouldn't we? God would not withhold His grace and His mercy, and not that He is, but there would be a greater release in what God wants to do in our lives, because our lives would be much more surrendered unto Him for His purpose. But you know what keeps us? This parable right here. Our stewardship. Understanding our stewardship. Because we don't really fully comprehend that we belong to the Lord. We don't comprehend the depth of that statement. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 6 says, "Do you thus deal with the Lord, O foolish and unwise people?" Do you deal with the Lord? Do you have the audacity to deal with the Lord? To question Him? He says, "Oh, foolish and unwise people, is He not your Father who bought you?" You see, He's speaking to the nation of Israel here, how they put God through all these trials. You know, they question God's ability to really direct their lives and to move them into His purpose. They rebelled time after time after time. And it says, "Is He not your Father who bought you? Has He not made you and established you?" You see, has God not made us? Has God not established us in His kingdom? Is He not our Father? Does He not have the capability of taking care of us? Or are we so consumed with all of these areas that we would rather do it ourselves? We would rather trust in our ability to make money and to use money and to use our time and so on, rather than God's ability to take care of us. I believe that oftentimes we cheat ourselves out of coming into a greater realm of faith. Because we have grown too accustomed to trusting in our own resources. We trust in our own abilities too much. Everything's laid out for us. We trust in the jobs that we have. We trust in the income that we have. I believe if we were really using what we have for God's purpose, there would be a greater level of faith demanded upon us that would cause us to grow into a deeper level of faith. But because we take what God has given to us and we use it for our own benefit, we fail to grow in faith and maturity that He really desires for us. Because we're concerned about our own lives too much. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 6, in verse 19 through 20? He says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price." There was a price that was paid for you. "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." In nations that have slavery yet today, when a master goes out and buys a slave, that slave belongs to him. That slave simply submits to the authority of the master. Maybe it's not a heartfelt submission, but yet, because there's a price that's paid. And I understand using that type of an example, not really a good one in one sense, but yet, because we detest slavery, and I do, in that sense. I don't believe any man should be under that kind of bondage. But yet it provides for us a real illustration here of what we're talking about. When an owner, when a master owns a slave, that slave does not concern himself with the clothes he's going to wear, with the food he's going to eat, with where he's going to lay his head at night, because that's all part of the package. It's all part of the arrangement. Amen? But I want you to know that when you came into the kingdom of God, you were bought with a price. The price of the blood. Jesus Christ paid a great price for your salvation. And in that, you are now not your own. He is now your provider. Jehovah Jireh, amen? God our provider. He is our provider. Bible says in Matthew 6 that He will provide for us. And if He can provide for the lilies and the birds of the air and all these different creatures, don't you think that you're a little bit more important than all of that? How many think that they have a little bit more importance than some of the shrubbery around the church today? There may be some people differ with me on that. But I believe we have a little bit more importance than some of the birds of the air. Yet God takes care of them. You know, it continually amazes me when you go out into the woods and you look at all the different creatures and the different animals and how they're just perfectly established in their environment. How God has just perfectly provided a place for them, a habitation for them. God does that for us too, see. That all comes under our stewardship. But so often, we receive that from God, but, you know, and it's like, see, we as Christians, because it's all by grace, we want both sides. we want to receive from God. We want His blessings. We want His benefits of living and reigning in the kingdom of God. But over on this hand, we want our will involved. We want control. Right? It's hard to give up that control. A slave doesn't have control over what he has. It's a master's control. And so since God owns us, Our whole lives should therefore be dedicated and consecrated in stewardship for His purpose. Amen? For His purpose, for His will, for establishing that purpose. God wants us to be faithful with what He has entrusted into our care, even though it is unrighteous mammon, even though it's unrighteous mammon and it's green. Talking about a dollar bill. Unrighteous mammon. The Bible says in Romans 14 and verse 8, for if we live, how many are living here today? Raise your hands. For if we live in Christ, we live to the Lord. You see, if you live, you live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Amen? That's where it's at, folks. You either live to the Lord or you die to the Lord. Either way, you are the Lord's. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. See, it's as simple as that. You are the Lord's. Are you? Are we? Do we really belong to the Lord? That's what this parable is about. Are we a just steward or are we an unjust steward? See, what happened to the steward in this parable is that he became careless. He became careless with his master's goods. He became careless in the way that he handled that which belonged to another man. So we need to understand, I believe, our responsibility in a number of areas. I'm going to give you some areas of our stewardship that we need to understand. We need to know what we need to do with our time. Do you know your time that you have is an area of stewardship? It's an area of stewardship, your time. Your money, how you handle your money, how you handle your income, is an area of stewardship that has been delegated unto you by the Lord. The way you handle your possessions, your talents, your ministries, the Bible says we've all been given grace, amen? We've all been given gifts and talents, ministries. What do we do with our ministries? What do we do with that gift that He has given to us? Do we use it to benefit the kingdom of God? Do we use it to benefit our brothers and our sisters? Or do we use it simply to benefit ourselves? You know, there's a whole area, I haven't seen a whole lot of it, but I know it exists. Spiritual manipulation with the gifts of the Spirit. I've actually seen, in some cases, I went to this meeting one time downtown Sacramento, and I saw how some ministers can manipulate the crowd of people with the word of knowledge. Use it for their own gain, for their own benefit. See? There's a whole area there. But we need to understand that everything that we have belongs to the Lord. And that He is the master of our house. We are spiritual houses, amen? And He is the master of that house. And so as we have seen, we're not the owners of all that God has given to us. And that we need to remember that we are His slaves. He is the master. We are His stewards, managers, and therefore we are accountable. See, you are accountable as to what you do with your income. You are accountable as to what you do with your time. You are accountable with what you do with your possessions. You are accountable in all of these areas. What you do with your talents, your ministries, your gifts that God has given to you, you are accountable in those areas. And so first of all, we must be good stewards of our time. The Bible says in Psalms 90 and verse 12, it says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You know, that's something I have really come to grips with, because it seems like the older you get, time just has a way of just going faster and faster and faster, and it almost spins out of control. And what it does is it causes you to evaluate what you're really doing with the time that God has given to you. Are you making each day count for the Lord? Are you making each week count for the Lord? Are you making each year of your life count for the Lord? Or does it just add up to one big fat zero?
It's a responsibility that you and I have, is that we make good use of our time. And that we don't squander it on ourselves. Now, I know that there's a balance to this, that we need to have, you know, a little time for recreation here and a little time. I mean, Jesus, saw the need in his disciples. He says, listen, we've been going at it. We've been really ministering. Let's go and relax a little bit. He went to relax with his disciples, and the crowds were there to meet him. And he didn't say, what's wrong with you guys? Don't you understand that I need a break here? Nah, he just poured out his heart and continued to minister, and his disciples continued to minister. But I wonder how many of us, recreate a little bit too much. We squander a little bit too much of the Lord's time. We find it too easy to get away on Sundays and go camping or whatever. And I realize we all need vacation time to get away. But how often do we do it? See? And there's a balance to all of this. There really is. There's time that you need to be alone with your family and just get out and be away with your family. But it really needs to be balanced out with your servanthood. See? With your stewardship and understanding that you have a responsibility there. It says in Ephesians 5 and verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. That means you're looking around, you're paying attention to what's going on around you. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what God's will and His purpose is for your life right now. Understand what God... Don't worry about what God's will and His purpose is next year or the year after. You know, sometimes we as Christians have a tendency to become so futuristic-minded and say, oh, I have this vision of what God's going to do with me 5 years from now, 2 years from now. I'm going to be a great prophet. I'm going to be a great apostle or whatever. And you forget that He wants you to be a simple servant right now. Amen? And so what is the vision for your life right now? What are you doing today for the kingdom of God? Not what you're doing tomorrow. You need to have a plan for your life, a vision for your life. But don't be so engulfed with all of that that you cannot focus on what is for today. What did Jesus say? Don't worry about tomorrow's problems or troubles. Each day is sufficient for itself. Amen? Get up in the morning. Lord, what do you want me to do with my time? How do you want me to spend my extra time? You know, it's amazing. You know, we come home from work and we're all tired. You know, just what a quick 20-minute nap will do for us and give us our energy and our zeal back. But you see, so often what we do is that we deserve the night off because we worked and toiled all day long. Amen? But I'll tell you what, we need to learn how to rest our bodies so that we can use them again. Amen? So that you can use it for His purpose. Don't get so burnt out and so used up in all of that way that you're no good whatsoever, but learn how to manage. See? Learn how to manage your time. Learn how to manage your rest so that you can be able to be used for His purpose the way God wants you to be. So, the problem with the steward here was that he was more concerned about his own will rather than the will of the Lord. See, how many of us are more concerned about our will rather than God's will? My things, the things that I have to do are much more important. They obviously are because you're spending more time on them, right? I mean, that's what we're saying. If we're spending all of our time doing what we want to do, then we're saying what I want to do is far more important than what God wants to do. You know, maybe we would never mouth those words and say, God, did you know that
My will and my purpose is more important than your purpose today? Now, how many of us would be bold enough to say something like that to God? Not me. But oftentimes, I'm guilty too. I shouldn't say oftentimes, but times. But our actions speak louder than our words. We need to also be good stewards of our talents. That's whatever God has given to you. You know, some people have a great talent. I'm not just talking about spiritual gifts. I'm talking about everything that you are, the abilities that you have as a person. The God-given abilities that you have as a person, those are your talents. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Do it now. There's no use for it in the grave. Now is the time to make it count. Amen. Now is the time to make your life count for the kingdom of God. When you die, it's all over. I mean, we go on and we live for eternity. But then we face the judgment and we receive our rewards. But now is the time to make our life count. I believe how you spend eternity will be based on how, I'm not just talking about heaven or hell here, there's different degrees in which we will be at in eternity. Some will be rulers over a few cities, others big cities, whatever. There's a whole realm there that I don't even understand, but I understand one thing, that there is a difference. There are different levels of authority that we will come into. There are different levels of rewards that we will come into. What you receive is based upon how you use the unrighteous mammon. Amen? So we need to be good stewards of our talents. And then finally here, we need to be good stewards of our income. How we handle our finances is very important to the Lord because it really belongs to Him. Are you spending your money on your own interests? Or are you spending your money on the kingdom? What did Jesus say in Matthew 6? Invest in the kingdom. Don't be investing, you know, and I got to be careful here. I believe that there's a whole realm here that we need to understanding that yes, God wants us to invest our money and make money. But for what purpose? So it can be invested in the kingdom. But I would venture to say, I'm speaking my opinion, I believe the word bears it out though, that I would rather put my money into His bank account where it's not going to rust, where it's not going to be destroyed. Sometimes it's real easy to want to disqualify everything you say. So that the sword has lost its edge. You know what I mean? It's like putting cotton on the tip of a sword. It doesn't do its job anymore because we're afraid to say what the Bible really says. You understand what I'm saying? This is a real tricky area here. But I honestly believe that God investing, that you cannot lose investing in His kingdom. How do you invest in His kingdom? Pay your tithes. Amen? Pay your 10%. You don't even have a choice about that according to the Bible. It's His. But the rest we have a choice about. What did Peter say to Ananias and Sapphira? He says, wasn't it yours until you said what you were going to do with it? It's yours until, in that sense, it still belongs to the Lord, but we still have, you know, it's kind of funny how God just puts that responsibility back on us. You know, it's like He wants us to make the right decision, but He still leaves the choice up to us what we can do with it. It's like, I mean, He's really trusting us with a lot here, isn't He? He's saying, I'm taking everything that I have and I'm just giving it to you and I'm just going to trust that you're going to do the right thing with it. And so many don't. It amazes me the amount of people that don't even pay their tithes. That's robbing from God. That's stealing from God. That's something that you don't even have a choice about. That belongs to Him. And I would believe if you are not a tither, you will surely be an unjust steward before God. He's going to say, you couldn't even give me the 10%? Says, well, I had this bill and I had that bill and I had this bill and I had... Well, why did you have all those bills? Because I wanted this and I wanted that and I wanted this and I wanted everything because my neighbors had it. Do you understand what I'm saying here? We take and we spend it on ourselves to the point that we can't even give to God what we owe Him. I tell you what, if I was in that predicament where, and I know some of you are, where you make out all your bills at the end of the month and there's nothing left for the tithe, I would still pay my tithe. I'd write that check out first and watch God bless it. Amen? Watch Him bless it. He says, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Offerings is up to us how much we give, but I believe God expects us to give. And the reason we have offerings to give is because we've been managing the 90% right. We haven't been spending and spending and spending and, you know, on all of our lustful desires and, you know, all these things. I got to be careful. I know I probably stepped on a few toes already, but I honestly believe that God wants us to live simple, uncluttered lives. It's too easy to get our lives cluttered up with all the things of the world and forget the kingdom of God even exists. Because when our lives are cluttered up with all that stuff, it looks pretty. It's easy to become infatuated with it. And what happens? You just want more and more and more and more and more, and it just lust goes on and on and on and on. And you're still basically serving God, but not as a good steward, see? Not as a good steward. You're being an unjust steward. And why did Jesus even put this in the Bible? So that it would be a warning against us, so that when we come to that time, when we come to that day, and we give an account, He would be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You passed the test. You handled your servanthood right. You handled your stewardship right. And so we understand that accountability is a part of the program. Jesus said in Matthew 24, and I'm going to close here in a minute, that He's coming at an hour when we will not expect Him. And then He goes on to say in verse 44 or 45, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household? See? Whom then is the wise and faithful servant whom the master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? You know, there's sometimes people that come here with needs that need a little bit of food in due season. And sometimes that food is not there because the saints of God are not giving. And I know that this is a very giving church. I can take a lot of liberty here. You guys are great givers. But I still believe that we have all of us have an area tucked away that we like to hoard things unto ourselves. Romans 14, and then it goes on to say, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Romans 14, verse 12 says, so then each of us shall give, here it is, each of us shall give account of himself to God. You've got to give an account to God of how you used your stewardship. And then we find here where Jesus actually commended the steward for being wise. The master didn't say he was pleased with him. He simply admired his astuteness. While he was
spending it all on himself and making his own arrangements, he admired the fact that the guy was using a little bit of sense here. And so we need to understand that I believe this is a point that Jesus was making. That we as followers must use our money. We must use our time, our income, everything for spiritual purposes just as wisely as the children of the world do for their material aims. Amen? We need to be just as wise and discerning as to how God wants us to use what He has given to us for spiritual purposes as the people of the world. The people of the world can come up with all kinds of conniving ideas on how to make a fast buck and how to save for this and save for that, and you know, so they'll have their pleasures fulfilled. But when it comes to us in the kingdom of God, we just kind of go on and just hope it all works out. There's no planning involved. How are we going to, what are we going to do? What kind of wisdom can we use to make meet this purpose in God?
And then finally, he brings into focus the principle of faithfulness in all of this. He says, if you have been faithful in that which is least, you'll be faithful in much. You've been faithful with the unrighteous mammon, the real riches will be entrusted unto you. See, I believe the more faithful we become in the unrighteous mammon, the more God will actually give unto us so that His kingdom can prosper. The growth, the establishment of the kingdom. But you've got to be faithful in every area of your stewardship. You've got to be faithful with your time. You've got to be faithful with your talents, your ministries, all of these things. And I believe you need to really be faithful with your income. If you're not a tither, you need to figure out why you're not tithing. Is it because you just don't believe it? And this is not a message on tithing. I'm not teaching that, the fullness of that. But you need to, if you don't understand tithing, you need to understand it. Is it because of greed? Is it because you're overextended or whatever? You need to really come to a firm conviction in your heart what you really believe concerning that and just follow through. I've watched people, this is the amazing thing, and I got to close here. But I've watched people that have tithed for over the years and then stopped tithing. You know what I've seen? I've watched them go downhill. I have watched the devourer get the money anyway. I have watched them. I've seen an overabundance of sickness and all these different things where that money is being taken. Tell you what, we can't play games with God. Because, you know, it's like, when I know somebody's not tithing, it's hard for me to even muster up a prayer when they come and, you know, want God's blessing. How can you pray God's blessing for somebody that's not walking in a position where they're able to receive God's blessing? Amen. Enough said on that. We need to be good stewards. Amen. We need to be faithful in that which God has given to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for your word, what it means to our lives. We pray, Lord, that as each one of us face you, you would see us as faithful stewards of all that you have given to us. That we would understand our stewardship in the light that you really desire for us to understand it. Help us to realize, Lord, that we are not our own, but we belong to you. Bless this people now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.